And welcome to Canqueer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
I'm Vesna.
You're not Vesna.
I'm Sebastian.
You're not Sebastian either. This is Jake, and we are joined by...
Hi, I'm Bradley. I'm the host of Queers, Questions, and Cocktails podcast.
Excellent. We're so glad to have you join us here, and Jake as well, who apparently is having an identity crisis, which really fits beautifully to this week's theme.
What identity crisis?
You don't even know who you are. I don't know who I am. I don't know.
Whose hands are these?
So this conversation around identity politics, because it's come up a lot in the news, not just the New York Times article, which I'll get to in just a few moments, but there was a U.S. Supreme Court case around the word dyke, and we'll get to that in just a few moments as well. Now, we are going to be having a conversation about, you know, names that have been used for the LGBT community, and some of them are considered to be insult. But for the context of this conversation, we are going to be saying things like faggot and dyke, and I don't know, I can't think of any more. But that's, I mean, I'm sure some will come up in terms of reclaiming words and so on.
I mean, I think those are the two most popular, because the other version, we gay and lesbians. So, you know, like... essentially, that's what the pop culture that we live in kind of play into.
I don't like the F word. I was called it in 8th grade, so I personally don't like it. But
I mean, I don't think anyone likes the F word.
Some people like it. Some people use it as a term of endearment. They throw it around. Like,
I have seen in movies, in movies and pop culture, where they would portray drag queens or gay boys in big cities using the F word as a term of endearment, and I sort of get that, but at the same time, it's sort of weird seeing them using it casually, because a lot of people, other people use it as an insult, and it's to the community, usually it's kind of a trigger for a lot of people.
Have you experienced sort of gay men in gay spaces using it?
Yeah, all the time.
Okay.
And friendly banter, terms of endearment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then...
But then, is it okay if street people use it?
No. Just like when a white person is singing rap and they say the N-word, I'm like, don't say that. Just don't. I don't care if you're singing the song.
You're absolutely right. And I think, you know, I don't know, I always get... I know, it's difficult to say. I don't generally refer to myself or to other gay men as faggots, because unless I'm doing it ironically, like, you know, we went camping and I'm like, oh my god, I'm gonna go grab that faggot over there and throw it in the wood, in the fire. And just for the listener's sake, your faggot in this case means a bundle of sticks, mm-hmm. which is funny. I think I was at camping at a friend's wedding party yesterday, and they were like, oh, you know, so-and-so's mum put a lot of effort into these flower pots. And I was meaning to ask her about the pansies, but I couldn't think of a good time. Because, of course, pansy has also been a term of insult for gay men. I think it's particularly out of the UK, I think, is where that one comes from. And then, of course, we have been growing our own garden, and I think I've used the pansy joke probably a dozen times. I like pansies. They're nice. They look cool.
But it's all personal and subjective, right?
This is
for
true.
Language and everything. You can use a term in passing as a joke and other people will think it's offensive, and you don't think it's offensive, you think it's funny.
I mean, it really depends, because if you're using it in the right context, any word can be offensive.
It's true.
But at the same time, when you're using a word that is widely popular in culture that is something taboo, it's kind of ruined the context, because let's say a white person say the N-word.
Mm-hmm.
No matter if it's a very non-related joke, not offensive at all, it's sort of like if someone passing by and heard that, no, that's obviously what the conclusion that they jump to,
mm-hmm.
that he's using it wrong, or I guess it just comes down to a little bit of perspective. Like, you see a white person using some word that doesn't belong to them, or like that should not, like, it does not belong to their culture. Suddenly it becomes like, oh, he's referring to black people, or he's referring to white people, or, you know, Asian people, or something like that.
That, I think, actually brings beautifully to sort of where I think a good conversation could be had. So Nick Haramis published the article May 14th in the New York Times. So it's been a little while. Well worth a read. It's caused an awful lot of conversation. People have been very keen in chatting about this. Essentially, what's interesting is that he's saying that we're entering the age of the twink. Now, other commentators have gone, you know, if you've opened up Grindr recently, I don't think we've ever not been in a twink age. And they've also rebuked it in terms of sort of the fashion industry, where the fashion industry has been criticized for only having twink body types. Hmm. You know, tall, skinny, sort of effeminate in feature. You know, these are the sort of fashion models that a lot of fashion houses would exclusively use.
But that's sort of, that's not how the fashion industry works, though. The effeminate male body type used in fashion industry was intentional because it helps glorify the clothing and helps create that silhouette of, you know, male wearing. Because if you look at a fashion show, like an actual haute couture fashion show, they wear a lot of big clothes that create big silhouettes. And if you're looking at casual clothing, something more, you know, more urban, then it's just more like plain jeans, and that doesn't create like a significant silhouette at all. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the male language is used as a prop.
But the critique is that this body type isn't something that just emerged with Timothy Chalamet.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's been something that's sort of ubiquitous in the gay community, mm-hmm. in industries such as the fashion industry.
Well, in a way, it can be refreshing because we've had the ultra-masculine muscled look shoved down our throats, and that was the gold standard that we should all be striving for. So
absolutely.
In a way, you can look at it, it depends what your perspective is. It could be refreshing that now the skinnier body type is acceptable.
I mean, to be fair, I don't really mind seeing my body type. I mean, I'm sort of a twink. I no longer fit the age group, but, you know, like...
I mean, I'm not sure if that's necessary in terms of that being a defining factor. And perhaps what we should do, and I should have done this at the start, is really define for our listeners what twink means. Growing up, where I always told two meanings, and I think you looked into it and you found the third one. But I always told it was a teen white, not into kink. And I knew kink was in there, but I recently found out that's what it was. So sort of teenage white boys who are gay, it's a very gay term, and not that adventurous. So they're not in the kink community, they're sort of more vanilla.
Vanilla.
And then the other term was based on the Twinkie, which is the baked pastry dessert you can get in sort of a Max Milk or a Circle K, which is white and full of cream. So we'll let you deduct from that as you please. Those are the two that I was made aware of, and it certainly has racial connotations to it.
Mm.
But I don't think anyone's really... You know, we see twink applied to different races now anyway. You know what I mean? I don't think the racial connotation has sort of survived.
No, I thought it was just skinny, effeminate, or just skinny. Maybe also feminine body type 18 to 24. But then I've heard people say it's a state of mind. There shouldn't be age restrictions on it. You can be a twink at any age. Again, I'm 35. My friend Taylor calls me the oldest twink he's ever seen.
Subjective,
like everything else.
I would actually agree with that because as a foreigner coming into North American culture, as I know about the gay community, it's more of a stereotype or you have bears and cubs, and twink is just another type, like body type, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's weird because if you look on Grindr, the body type, it's sort of mirror the tribe is what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just find it weird, but anyway. But twink, I always thought it was generally of any race, really.
Yeah, me too.
Lanky, a bit more effeminate, obviously. Something a bit more beta, like
okay.
A beta male,
mm-hmm.
a little bit more submissive. But yeah, like, I personally always consider myself a twink because there's no other boxes I could tick. But at the same time, you know, you can be a twink at 35. I don't see a problem with that. But it's, at the same time, it's a term that we usually use to describe people in the community. To say that it's the age of the twink is like saying the age of young gay men who are lanky and effeminate, which is refreshing but kind of untrue, because like besides a few occasions that you see like twinks, like on TV shows, you get, I think Netflix made like 3 or 4 high school type, or like Riverdale.
I couldn't get into Riverdale. I watched the first 2 episodes and checked out.
Yeah. It's a bit too comic booky.
People love it. People are like obsessed with
it. Yeah, but like you don't see that Twinkie type often. Mm. You see it like a trophy.
I think this raises a lot of really interesting conversations. You know, and I think based on what you were talking about, based on actually some great coverage in The Atlantic, we're talking about, is this just sort of an evolution of masculinity? Is this now, you know, straight people objectifying men, but using the language that have been used to objectify men in the gay community, sort of co-opting that language?
Or... Do we say that? That straight men are now co-opting that term?
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah. Sorry, just I may have gone too far ahead here. But one of the critiques of the New York Times article is sort of the way it was talking about twink being used as a phrase for straight men. And I think the New York Times refers to sort of like an art house art twink, where it's sort of building on the aesthetic legacy. That's sort of where the term was phrased. The writer was, he was watching Call Me By Your Name with Timothée Chalamet and the other guy. Armie Hammer, that's the one. Actual real name. Bizarre. But yeah, and just seeing that dichotomy of Armie Hammer is very much built like a lumberjack, broad shoulders, very sort of traditional American hero type, you know what I mean? And Timothée Chalamet is young looking, skinny, pronounced sort of shoulders and so on, like skinny shoulders.
Like swimmer bod.
Is the word. Sorry?
Like swimmer bod.
Yeah.
But no, swimmer bodies are very lean and there's a steady muscle over them. But Timothée Chalamet's a bit more scrawny looking.
Okay.
And I've seen some people discussing this, describe it as slightly scrawny looking as sort of the look that's being described. What's interesting is how he's saying about how what's most notable was not that there was sort of that gay chemistry in one of the scenes, but rather the difference in body types, which I thought was really interesting. Mm-hmm. And that we're seeing a rise of twink body types sort of come through, and whether and people from this article have been really talking about, you know, are straight men twinks? Can they be twinks? You know, somebody suggested that Tom Holland, who played Spider-Man, who I thought was adorable, would be a twink.
I disagree. I think he's a jock. I think he's pretty built. I have seen pictures. Obviously. I mean, obviously.
They just came up on my computer. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, news, it happens. Pictures came up like that. Like, come on.
Okay, I think that's pretty built.
That is pretty dope.
Yeah.
Like, he's definitely not a twink. Mm. But anyway, back to my point. I think
twunk.
It's actually...
He's a twunk.
He's a twunk.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's the other one. There's like a whole bunch of phrases. Twunk is sort of... it's twink and hunk.
Yeah.
So people say like Zac Efron is a twunk. Sort of...
Well, now he's built.
But yeah, it's sort of that sort of, you know, Tom Daly would be a twunk.
Mm, yeah,
he's
swimmer,
a bit too built to be a twink, so he's moving into a twunk.
I mean,
there's
a lot of...
femme twinks, like Adam Rippon has been called a femme twink.
Mm. Well, my first reaction when I heard that straight men were using the term was kind of like outrage, like, you can't take that from us. But then, like, who is the police of words and terms and identities?
Well,
like,
do you think that it's, and I loved when you were talking about this earlier, Jake, is it cultural appropriation to take terminology out of the gay community?
I don't want to somersault back, but I do think it's not a bad idea for them to use it, but at the same time, they just have to respect it, I suppose. Because what I see it as we discuss it, there's a lot more popular culture adopting the effeminate male stereotype, or not stereotype, but archetype, let's say.
Hmm.
And, I mean, it's new. So, I guess, in a way, I guess the popular culture just don't know how to deal with that. And normally, people would stick the first thing that is the closest to the thing that they think it is.
True.
And straight male, who's a bit more feminine, a bit more twink in this case, they can't find a word for it. So twink sort of fits the word, and sort of because they're more like, as we grow more, gay culture become more popular. Like it's sort of like the when culture, like a cross culture exchange sort of thing, where people don't know what to refer to a thing, and then they put a name on it because the other people say that is what it is, and so it looks the same.
You're saying that, you know, after oh so many years, it's just that now the straight community are like, okay, we need a name for scrawny kids and guys, scrawny guys, and gay guys call them twinks. So that's a good name. Let's stick with that.
I mean, I think that's kind of where it came from. Like, personally, I can see this happening because, I mean, in a high school, let's say, like, I came to high school here at grade 11. So before that, I was in Asia. I was bullied all the time in Asia. And all the names that I got was kind of like, after a few years, it gets old. But, like, when you get to a Canadian high school, I didn't get bullied that much, or at all. But the names and the way that people communicate, being, like, with me being an openly gay kid, it's sort of like, oh, what do I call you? Or, like, what do I... Like, it's sort of like they are inexperienced and they're uneducated about the topic and the issue. And then they just don't know what to put on there. It's like, oh, here's a label. Let's slap it on because it looks the same.
But I mean, I don't think this really answers my question as to whether or not this is cultural appropriation.
Well, maybe it's that because, like, metrosexuality, that term has been in popular culture for how long? Like, when the first Queer Eye came out, which is, like, how long ago? Is that 15 years ago?
Yeah.
So maybe it's, like, just more acceptance, and young millennials are now more open and accepting of different sexualities and identities, so maybe it's just coming together.
I mean, I think on the face value, they did take it, they did steal it, and they are using it out of context, out of the context that we have been using it and perfecting it for in our community for decades. But it's also the evolution of their own culture. Like, we have a lot of popular culture featuring more effeminate, younger, twink-type archetypes. So, I mean, if people are allowed to call muscly guys who's, you know, like, every other type a punk or something like that, I guess stealing the word twink isn't the worst thing in the world.
You know, I want to build on what you're saying there, because I was originally a little peeved that I didn't get any credit in this New York Times article. Because before this article came out, we had a conversation, and I was saying about how Ollie Alexander, Troye Sivan, and Timothée Chalamet all had the same body type. And my whole point at the time, one of the previous episodes, was that that body type is being represented a lot more in gay culture. And within gay culture, we're seeing a rise of twinks. Now, the New York Times didn't cite me, of course, and I can't prove whether or not I said it first. But still a little sore on that front. But I think it's really interesting, because my point here is, other than to be sour grapes, my point here is that, you know, in the gay community, these are conversations that we're having now. And now, you know, the rest of the straight world, i.e. the New York Times, has gone, oh my God, look, skinny white guys that look the same. Now let's use twink, this brand new term I've just discovered from the gays. You know, and it's sort of a question of like, okay, well, you know, is this then fetishizing the language of the gay community? Is this sort of seeing it like a sort of a foreign object that's neat and that we're going to just take and without any consequence to the history? Because of course twinks would have been beaten up, they would have been, you know, bullied, and you know, crimes against twinks. Actually, in the 1990s, late 1989, Alain Brousseau in Ottawa was thrown off a bridge. It was a straight man that looked like a twink, and it was because of that body image type that he was killed, because of its association with homosexuality. So I think going, oh yeah, I'm a twink and I'm straight, doesn't pay any kind of homage to that long history. And I think a few weeks ago when we had you on last time, you were talking about folks who are visibly gay, i.e. they don't have the passing privilege of looking straight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how does this all tie into that?
I can see this being a difficult topic, because if you have a straight white kid calling himself twink, but I'm straight,
it's going to confuse people.
First of all, it confused people. And secondly, it's draw a giant target on his back. For all
does it? Because I don't know. Because I mean, I feel like now, you know, the Timothée Chalamets of the world aren't going to get bullied now because that body type is suddenly popular.
Hmm.
Like dad bod came and went.
Right.
You know,
yes.
Dad
yeah.
bod became an acceptable body type.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but what makes me question is if all of the twinkie type straight guys are going to go like, oh my God, I'm a twink. You know, what about all the actual genuinely gay guys who use these as identifying markers to be able to sort of
navigate,
weed each other out, because there aren't that many homos despite popular belief, and using coded language like this is a way of being able to find allies. A good question is being liked in the loafers or the penny loafers were a way of just signifying it. And the hanky code was another way of symbolizing, you know, your sexuality and your and what you may be into.
You ever look that up? It's really entertaining.
Yeah,
there's like the 50 hanky of code. Them, and there's everything you could possibly
I have a funny story about the hanky code. I was walking to a gay youth group out in Belleville. And I'm strolling along, and there's this rather attractive young man ahead of me, and I was maybe 18 at the time, and he was probably 17, 18 as well. And I was like, oh, hello. And he had a red hanky in his back left pocket, no, back right pocket. And I was like, oh my God, this guy knows about the hanky code. So I'm like, wasn't quite able to make up the distance that he was ahead of me without being creepy. You know when you're walking and like they're just too far away to naturally catch up? So I was like, okay, I'm gonna have to just like let this one go. Missed opportunity. Never mind. And I asked an older friend of mine, I was like, you know, I'm curious actually, what's the hanky code for like a red checkered hanky on the back right pocket? Because, you know, the colors, the patterns, which pocket, all has symbolism. And apparently it was a gang.
Okay. Oh wow.
Yeah, as I say, I don't know what red is. Yeah, checkered.
Yeah, red. So yeah, sort of got off lucky there, I think, because that could have ended with a very different conversation. But no, my point really goes back to this, that twink has been used as a way of young, skinny gay men sort of setting themselves apart.
Was it really that they were self-identifying that way, or the older gay men who desired them labeled them twinks?
Well,
that's a good question.
Right?
If you're talking about the gay community, then our whole language, our whole culture is highly sexualized and highly fetishized by every single person in it and out of it. So straight people, like, hyper-sexualizing our culture and putting it on TV as a, you know, as like a trophy, that's not new.
No.
So using our language, appropriating our culture, that's not new either. It's sort of like putting, it's like putting us on the forefront and then saying that, yeah, we did that.
It's like Madonna voguing.
Yeah,
and
so
then saying that she came up with that.
So to me, twink is just another case of them claiming that they, oh, we invented this because we made it popular. Nothing is anyone's idea anymore. Eventually, we'll just have to come to that point where we settle on, we have to share this word, or we separate the word because we the community need it. And I think obviously it deserves, belongs to the gay community, and it comes to it, it's ours. To me, if they want to steal it, steal it. But you gotta be respectful to the word itself and be respectful to the people, the actual twinks. To me, if I see a white guy, white straight guy going out and claiming he's twink, I would feel like,
okay, prove it.
Yeah, prove it. I was called a twink my entire life.
Me too.
Both as an insult and like a praise and like as an identifier. You know, like, if you're going to be claiming twink, besides the body, like, what else do you have?
So you mentioned earlier about how twink is often a word that's sort of put on you as opposed to sort of self-identified. You know, is this now just sort of an equal opportunity offender where, you know, straight people can be called twink, you know, straight men can be called twink, and gay men get called twink? Is this sort of now we're evening up the tables and we're calling anybody a twink? Or is it sort of something that's being proactively done? Do you think that straight men will proactively identify themselves as twinks?
No, I don't think so. I think it's probably just, again, gay culture seeping into the mainstream and everyone's becoming more accepting of sexuality.
Now, is that gay culture as a novelty? Or, you know, because I just, having seen the article, it's almost, for me, I read it like, you know, you've gone on a mission to some country somewhere and discovered this thing called twink, and you're going to tell everybody all about it. You know, and it's sort of, for me, it didn't strike quite the right tone.
To me, it's, I mean, like I said, people have been fetishizing the gay community for too long and way, way before we can remember in popular culture. I mean, remember watching any classic movies from the 80s or the 90s, the villain is always flamboyant and maybe sometimes even gay. Mm. And it's a way that they, like the popular culture, distinguish from straight people.
Mm.
The effeminate gay men are the gays. And now, by adopting it, it's just sort of like, Eureka! It's our new invention, because it's different from, like, the ones that we used before. It's all, like, acknowledging that they left out the whole lanky straight man and did not identify them, and now, because it's in popular media and gay people are in the spotlight, let's stick a label on it, because then you can have a cross-culture thing.
We're gonna look into sort of some of the darker sides of the word twink, just up to this, before we carry on with a different conversation. I'm going to play Jake Shears. He is from the Scissor Sisters, now has put out a solo album, but very much was identified as a twink throughout his early career, sort of embodied on in the gay community on a grand scale, that sort of effeminate identity.
Not anymore, though.
But now, it's like, there was a great interview that he did that we'll have posted on our website, where he's talking about how now he's become a daddy, which is one of the other gay tribes that we use as identifiers. So this is Jake Shears, and we will be back just after this, and this is... Welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Jake Nguyen.
My name is Luke Smith.
I'll still be Bradley.
And actually, we were just listening to Jake Shears there, and we had a conversation during the song about the Lintzavakiki from the... I love the song.
I do not like that song.
I do not like that song. Nobody else likes the song.
So we didn't go with that song, which I'm kind of sad about. But you had something you wanted to mention about Jake Shears.
Well. When I worked for Extra in 2012, I saw Scissor Sisters and Rai Rai at a Pride party, and I was so excited to see Rai Rai and no one else... The whole Extra office knew who Rai Rai was, and I felt very superior in my music snobbery.
Amazing. And everybody else was there for Jake Shears.
And I was like, Rai Rai's so good. Haven't you heard of her? She's MIA's like protege. And they're like, no. Never heard of her, and she's so good.
Actually, I'm going to talk about that first. Get to the other ones later.
Yeah, do talk about that thing that you just drop on us.
Yeah, just boom. And this really comes out of a great article in The Independent in the UK, which, I mean, as I said earlier, lots of people are reacting to that New York Times article. It was a worldwide trending Twitter hashtag. And sort of very much a conversation starter globally. And in the UK, Louise Staples wrote on the 20th of May in The Independent about, and the title is, As a Gay Man, I Know How Damaging It Is to Idealize the Idea of a Twink. Now, I think what's interesting here is that in the gay community, twink was sort of an ideal body type, and still is. You know, we're starting to flesh it out with twunk and with dad bod. It didn't quite make it into the gay community, but otter. And otter and twunk are certainly sort of muscular versions of twink. The idea that it's sort of based on body image. So a lot of folks who are in the gay community, and it's certainly true, is that we in our community have a disproportionate rate of bulimia, of anorexia, bigorexia, which is taking lots of body enhancements to sort of build bulk on mass.
Yes.
You know, so they're eating disorders. There are lots of eating disorders in the gay community as people trying to attain these sort of Timothy Chalamet body types. You know, Ollie Alexander of Years and Years, one of my favorite musicians that's out right now, has been very open talking about the fact that for many years he had bulimia. And that's sort of in large part why he has that body type. Mm-hmm. And he's been referred to as sort of a twink, you know, the gold standard, when really it's the result of being unwell. And I think it's really interesting that as we talk about twink and how it's this cool new term, in the gay community it sort of has created this goal for young gay men that in many ways is unattainable and has led to a lot of mental health problems.
We personalize everything, most people do. I never thought twink was the desirable body type. I always thought that muscle was, maybe that's subjective because that's what I find attractive, but I never wanted to be skinny. I always wanted to have more muscle. So it's interesting, everyone's different, it's subjective.
I definitely agree with you. I don't think twink is the ideal body type that people are striving for. It is more desirable than certain body types, let's say top three.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like muscle is obviously the hyper masculine look is obviously what everyone is still into.
But then, as someone who's been skinny, and you as well, there are guys that are into that. So, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Just for us, that's our opinions and our minds, but then there's guys that's what they really like. They like the skinny guys, and that's what they want. So completely subjective.
It's, yeah. Imagine the gay community, the way it's developed, like, we all want belonging, and that's kind of what gay men strive for. So belonging in a society, in a smaller community, as small as a gay community in your city, it's sort of like there's a pressure to conform to a certain archetype or social stereotype that people desire to have, or people desire. Like, if you go on Grindr and you don't fit any boxes, that's
any of their tribes.
Yeah, any of the tribes. That's sort of like a rejection, even without a rejection, because then that's where people meet. But then people meet each other and looking for a specific type. Now, if you don't fit that type, that's a rejection.
Actually, I mean, it's really interesting because if you pay for the premium version of Grindr...
No one does that. Why would you say that?
If you did, you can actually filter by tribe, sort of daddy, bear, twink, and effectively you're filtering by how people have self-identified their body types. And I think that's a really interesting question. Now, neither of you two have felt the need to become more skinny or sort of delve deep into that, but it is something that does affect our community. And it has been shown that in Canada and the States that the gay community, or folks with bulimia and anorexia and other eating disorders, are disproportionately gay men. So there's more of us suffering with those illnesses than proportionally the straight people are.
I remember this one story from a gay Chinese man that I met, who's about my age, same body type. The funny story is, he's bottom, and he has this notion in his head during brief, like I remember just, it was a brief, fun conversation. And he said he's afraid of actually bulking up, because as a Asian bottom, it's not as desirable in the community, at least in Canada. Because in Ottawa, like specifically, you get a lot more older daddy type who's into the Twinkie, the smaller Twinkie type. And if he bulks up, and Asian also has like people fetishize Asian gay people as twinks. Most, if you ask a gay man what an Asian gay man look like, he will say a twink. Yeah. Like, it's just the way it is. So he's afraid of actually bulking up and getting healthier and actually going to the gym, because then he wouldn't get any dates.
That's unfortunate. I don't think that's true. I think he would.
I don't think that's true either, but I mean, it's the way it is. Like, some people are, they like, there is a need of, you know, feeling belong, and then if you don't conform to a certain stereotype, they don't actually even try to take a look at you. So therefore, people kind of take it on themselves to conform, and that's bring about all sorts of problems. Sometimes the people give you the label, like twink, but you have to take it yourself too if you want to belong, and that's kind of where the problem comes in with straight people taking the word twink.
Right. I think that's why I've been trying to work out more lately, because I'm getting older. I'm in my 30s, and I can't really be a twink anymore. So, and
I mean, why not? I mean,
I know, whatever.
I know. I mean, who's going to ask you that, though?
Right.
Eating disorders broadly, you get people who are purging, and there's a great report out of the UK National Eating Disorders Group, which was cited in The Independent, which says that, you know, gay men are 12 times more likely to report purging than heterosexual men.
Wow, I've never done that.
We also get gay men who are bulking up, so that, you know, they can be sort of muscle daddies and otters and twunks,
and
so they can fit that. But
right.
Doing so in an unhealthy way, you know, and kind of the consequences that come with that, it is really concerning, you know. Do we want to be in the age of an unattainable body type? You know what I mean?
I think we always have been.
I agree.
Yeah.
Popular culture has always portrayed the best body type of the time that they want, and it has always been of either extreme. Like back in the 60s, like the lanky man was actually quite popular, and then now we have the super muscular dudes.
Right, when you watch like movies from the 80s, like, oh, that was the hot guy, because he would be like not even normal now.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, that was the hot guy, he had like a little bit of abs and a little bit of a chest, and now it's like 60 times that is the hot guy. Yeah,
I do like that now, where as a culture we're exploring what it means to be masculine and creating alternative masculinities. You know, Ryan Reynolds in Deadpool is not as bulky and jacked as
Ryan Reynolds in Blade 3, because I watched that the other day and he was really, really good looking.
I remember,
but no, it's sort of, he's a slightly slimmer, smaller guy, you know, and maybe he's a bad example, but Newt Scamander in the Harry Potter Magical World of Creatures movie, but I'm
Fantastic
forgetting.
Beasts.
Chris Redmayne? Chris Redmayne.
Okay.
His body type, it was sort of seen as representing a softer masculinity and a different way of being a lead male character. So that was very well applauded when that first film came out, and of course I'm really excited for
Eddie Redmayne.
That's the word.
Yes.
Oh my god, when Eddie Redmayne is portrayal in the Harry Potter film, Wizarding World film, I think was fantastic, because it created this sort of soft-spoken leader who was very compassionate and not about the action and the violence and built like a lumberjack. And I think, you know, are we seeing now maybe that what it means to be attractive is sort of diversifying, you know, the dad bod phenomena that we saw, Eddie Redmayne, and now twink. Is this promoting eating disorders, or giving straight people more tools to objectify men, or is this giving men more ways of identifying themselves? Big question.
I mean, if you're asking about straight people stealing the word twink, I'm still kind of on the fence about that. And I still, at this point, if you ask me, I would say they're stealing it 100%. But at the same time, that's just how culture developed. I mean, as society stands by itself, it's create more complexity. And now that we acknowledge that there are other attractive body types out there, I think eventually, ultimately, it'll become more acceptable and every body type would be presented the way it should be. But, you know, it's going to be a slow process because people's mind can sometimes only accept one stereotype as, like, you know, the attractive. Mm. And that's just how people, like, how the brain works. So to, you know, jump from that and then to all the way to all body types can be attractive, it's a big of a leap. And because we don't have word like twink to refer to that, that makes even harder jump because society doesn't like unknown.
The words we use to describe ourselves and describe each other have a lot of meaning. They have a lot of power. It reminds me of an Ursula Le Guin book where, like, something's name is its ultimate power, but that's random digression. But why I think this is really interesting is how the language and the words that we use for things have kind of developed over time. We watched during the song break there a video from Into, which is Grindr's sort of internal newsletter that they put out, where they got older gay men to guess the meaning of young gay men words. It kind of bugged me because it was all RuPaul Drag Race quotes.
Most of them, yeah.
And I'm like, you know, and I have riled against the cultural hegemony of RuPaul's Drag Race on many occasions. I watch it and Untucked every week.
That's really riling against it.
But yeah, I know. I don't want to, like, vanjie myself out of it, but it's...
How's... So Into, is it run by Grindr, the company?
Yeah, it's, like, within the app.
Well, I know it interrupts my scrolling all the time.
I know, because it's constantly interrupting the scrolling.
Because technically Chinese company own it now.
Well, it's true. I would pay Grindr to not get their newsletter. Like, this is...
Yep.
This is almost where I'm at. Anyway, so Interplay created this video, which is nearly all RuPaul quotes. But there's a few that tickled me. And one was Gaby. I always call them baby gays.
Yes.
I don't know, what term did you use? Would you
baby
use?
Gays.
Baby
yeah.
gays, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they asked the older guys, what would you call somebody who's fresh out? And they said a chicken.
Chicken, and people used to call me that 15 years
Absolutely.
Ago.
Absolutely.
When I was 20, yeah.
Older gay guys who had a thing for younger gay men are chicken hawks.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear chicken hawk, but I never put two and two together. And I was like, oh, they're after the chickens. So it's like baby, gaby hawk. I mean, it just doesn't have the same ring to it.
No.
But really, what was really great about this video was that the one guy was like, oh my God, you know, if someone's extra, he was like, yeah, we call them a queen, you know?
Yeah.
But now everybody's a blooming drag queen. Like, you can't swing a cat in a gay bar without hitting a drag queen. It's ridiculous. But no, I thought that was really
listeners,
really
he would not swing a cat.
No, I wouldn't. Before they call Peter on me, I'm not going to... No cat swinging. But, you know, I thought it was really interesting that sort of this language has evolved and that these words exist, you know, chicken and mm-hmm. then gaby. And
there was a couple I didn't know.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, gays.
Yep.
When I saw that, I was like, oh my God, that's gay face.
Yeah, I knew
obviously.
Right away,
yeah,
but I never
exactly.
heard anyone say that ever.
That's true.
Me neither.
No.
Check out the video yourself if you want to see what they are. I don't think I'm going to get into the descriptions for the other ones, but it was pretty entertaining. Identity politics is extremely important and has sort of formed a large part of who we are and how we identify. So the point I'm eventually sort of Rachel Maddowing here is that, are you familiar with the Supreme Court case around The Slants?
No.
Which is an Asian American band, and they called themselves The Slants, and the trademark office kicked it out for being disparaging.
But they are Asian.
Yes. So yeah, they are Asian American, and they were Slants. Anyway, so Dykes on Bikes filed a sort of supplementary brief to this court case, which
okay.
at the Supreme Court,
okay.
arguing that Dykes on Bikes is a self-referential term.
Right.
It's been used for 20, 30 years now, and it's sort of 25 years at least, and it's sort of been a term in the community of folks identifying themselves,
right.
very much around the Asian American band identifying themselves as slants.
Mm-hmm. But so Dykes on Bikes, they probably trademarked that phrase.
They tried to, but they were told no because it's
Dykes
disparaging.
On Bikes too?
Yeah.
Oh.
So yeah, that was the whole point. They were arguing that this is sort of in the same vein,
yeah,
which
is
why they were arguing in support of overruling that that particular rule. Anyway,
that's weird.
The Supreme Court agreed with an 8-0 decision on this.
Wow.
So now Dykes on Bikes can actually register themselves. They were like, it's weird because things like Queer as Folk is already, you can already do that one. Queer can be done, gay, and a whole bunch of other ones. Also,
I've worked in intellectual property for 5 years. Everything you can think of is trademarked. I saw one company called Phoenix who had to call themselves F-E-N-I-X because the traditional spelling was taken. Like, everything is trademarked in the world. So it's crazy that they wouldn't let them trademark that.
Yep. No, they drew a line. In the States, they drew a line, and that's sort of where it fell out. So now there's also a discussion as to whether or not the word dyke is still relevant. Are there people still identifying with it?
We still have the dyke march every year, so dykes still call themselves that.
It's true. And it's interesting because even organizers of, like, the sort of lesbian march...
It doesn't have the same ring to it.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Yeah, no, it doesn't have the same sort of tone, sort of...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Confrontational, taking up space.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But yeah, no, the Dyke March, and that kind of was born out of a lot of annoyance with gay men running pride parades, is that they carved out their own space.
Yeah, and justified annoyance, probably.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But yeah, no, the Dyke March still, you know, all across Canada, there aren't that many of them. So I think, you know, Vancouver, Montreal, Toronto,
here.
Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Kingston has one, but some of the bigger towns also have a Dyke March.
Mm-hmm.
And you always get lesbians on bikes, dykes on bikes. It's just, it's what it is. You haven't really done the pride unless you've seen a dyke on a bike.
No. Especially the topless ones with the bicycle wheel pasties on her nipples.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, bicycle wheel pasties.
Yeah.
It's where it's at.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, apparently, you know, it's interesting because now they're debating whether or not it's a relevant term. The Supreme Court has said you can now call yourself that. If you so wish, under sort of free speech legislation.
This is the American
system. The American,
right?
System, yeah.
Okay.
So just a quick fire round on some big news, because I do want to get some of the kind of biggest headlines out here, which I think is pretty interesting. South Korea held its first ever drag queen parade. Apparently the drag queens also need their own parade, so that's... Everyone's getting parades now. I think it was Pride Parade in Perth recently. There's a couple already happening.
Mm.
You know, even starting in sort of mid-May, going all the way up to November, there's a lot of parades. There are 1,100 Pride Parades in the world. 110 of them are in Canada.
Wow.
So if you want to find out where your local Pride Parade is, we can hopefully connect you. Tweet us at TalkCanQui and we'll do our best.
Or just follow To the End of the Rainbow.
To the End of the Rainbow also does a good job. Now, Antarctica is also hosting its own Pride Parade, which is pretty exciting. It's very far away.
I think the Grand Marshals should be those gay penguins that were in the news a couple of years back.
God. Oh my gosh, that would be adorable. It's based at the United States McMurdo Station, and it is very far away. Very, very far away. I know that we were talking last year about, I think it was Yellowknife had a Pride Parade as well, so the Canadian North is also represented in sort of the parade happening that's happening right now. So there are a couple of other topics that I think tied in that we didn't quite get to, and one is a Father's Day card. Of course, we're gearing up towards Father's Day, June 17th, I believe, and it said, you know, being a father isn't just for sissies. Or isn't for sissies.
Mm.
And sissy has been a derogatory term used to sort of against effeminate gay men.
Mm.
So there's a bit of a backlash. Is calling it sissy homophobic? Is it misogynist? You know, is it something that's acceptable? I think it would be hilarious for a gay guy to give, like, for a gay dad to get a being a father isn't just for sissies card.
Mm.
I think it would be sort of, you know what I mean?
Humorous, yeah.
It would be, yeah, it would be a satire on it. I would buy the card.
Right,
like,
but the term probably is misogynist if you think of the word.
But who's going to be really upset by that? You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, I think it's not...
It's a Father's Day card.
Mm, yeah, it's
well,
just be humorous, right?
I think if it's sold at a gay bookstore, given the context, yes, it would be funny. But if you think about it, as a term being printed on a card, mass-produced, sold in, let's say, 140 chapters, how many kids is going to see that and using the word sissy?
Hmm, that's true.
Like, it's not about the card. It's about the word being used on a mass-produced scale and what kind of result would come from that. Like, people see it, and you don't want the word sissy to become mainstream, do you?
Not again, no. I suppose that's, you've got a really good point there of it kind of re-emerging in the sort of vernacular of the world. Now, the last story I want to mention is there was a, through the magazine The Economist, they had a conference in London. So for Economist subscribers, you have the option of going to some of their exclusive conferences. And the UN Assistant Secretary General for Human Rights, Andrew Gilmore, was there and was speaking about LGBT rights globally and was really pushing back on the idea that LGBT rights is sort of a Western construct, is a Western idea, and is, you know, the rights for queer people, no matter if you identify with sort of the Western words or with local indigenous words, sort of, I think the Hijra in India, the sort of third gendered folks there, you know, no matter how you identify, if it's with indigenous language or with sort of a Western construct, that the rights of folks to live within a sexual or gender minority without being persecuted is a universal human right. But not Western, non-Western countries are pushing back on sort of this sort of Western neocolonialism and using LGBT rights as that
crutch.
As that crutch, absolutely. Using it as a football to use. Now, you are from Vietnam. And we've actually had this conversation before about, you know, being gay and gay rights in Vietnam being sort of imposed as opposed to being originated, and sort of a crackdown from the government on gay culture, and especially in China, they're cracking down on it, and it's seen as an anti-Western kickback as opposed to cracking down on their locals.
It's sort of a, I mean, it depends on how or who you are, because Asian culture most of the time is all about family values and having descendants. And that is sort of just the way that people live by. So if there is something else that threatens that idea of family values, God forbid, is homosexuality. So, you know, from that perspective, yes, Asia and Vietnam and Pacific can be a bit harsh. Last time I checked, a couple of years ago, they got a, like an actual pride parade, but it's more like an illegal one. Not like, it's not illegal, it's, it wasn't actually official, like no one made it official, it wasn't affiliated with any of the Pride International organizations.
So it was like a protest, which Pride originally
sort of
was,
a,
right?
It wasn't a protest, okay. Because if you have a protest in Vietnam, God, that's, they're gonna shut it down so fast, and they'll bring the police out. From that perspective, others, like other than the family value being sort of infringed upon, I don't think LGBT rights is actually that pushed against, like by nature that people hate, because it's so close to home in terms of family values that becomes a threat. Therefore, they amplify it a lot.
We have run out of time. I think, if anything, we have made clear that, I don't know, it's not very clear at all, really. I don't know if Twink has been stolen, borrowed, or shared. I don't know if Twink is something that should be used, shouldn't be used, really is sort of buyer beware as a term. You know, I don't know if Dyke is still relevant. I mean, I feel like Dyke is still relevant, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Who knows? And are all of these words just going to be used as an excuse not to accept human rights in the rest of the world? Who knows? We will keep you up to date on this never-ending discussion on identity politics. But that's all we have time for today. I have been Luke Smith.
I am Luke Smith, too.
I am not Luke Smith. I'm Bradley. You can check out Queers, Questions, and Cocktails at qqcpod.com.
And we're playing out with Freezing Out by Mr. Oizo, featuring Peaches from the album All Wet. And it's a great song. Thank you, Bradley, for recommending it this week. Of course, Peaches is Canadian and very entertaining. And I'm really glad just to find a song from her that doesn't have swearing in it. So that's always a pleasure. Anyways, we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening. Dream swaying in my airstream, sweating in the bear scene. I don't care, mean. Remember last time when they said you couldn't say that? Remember last time when they said you couldn't say that? Mask face, what race? Check on her vagina. Blast these, last phase, moving to Regina. Strike it, strike it, strike it. Air, strike it, strike it, strike it. There, coming up and down her. Coming up and down her. Rubbing up, rubbing up, rubbing up, rubbing up all up and down.
strike it, strike it, strike it. There, coming up and down, I'm coming up and down, I'm coming up, coming up, coming up, ripping up all up and down, I'm coming up and down, I'm coming up and down, I'm ripping up, ripping up, ripping up, ripping up all up and down, they pee you on.